You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Just Married. So I think we've all seen this. Somebody drives away from a wedding, hopefully the rear window, not the front window, and written across it is Just Married. But I look at that and I think, okay, but what if it stays that way? So you meet a couple and you say, so how do y'all know each other? Oh, we're just married. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? We're just married. How long have you been married? 20 years, but we're just married. Like, what do you think marriage means? Right? What do you think you got yourself into when you got married? Just, the word means only, simply, merely, barely, by a narrow margin, closely, nearly. Who wants to be just married? Man, I want to be completely married. I'm trying to figure out a way to stay alive as long as I possibly can and keep the redhead alive too. So we, you know, I got some more time. My goodness. I mean, I guess if it's working, it's a little bit of heaven. If it's not, it is a whole lot of hell, but it doesn't have to be. You can get married without Jesus, right? You can enter into a contract. You can only enter into a Christian marriage with Jesus, which makes it a covenant, not a contract. Two different things. A contract is between two parties. There's benefits to both of them, but contracts can be broken. You walk away. A covenant, now you've involved God. Now you're saying things before the person, to the person, but also to God. Like, God, you're hearing this. I'm telling you, I'm telling her, I'm telling him. This is involving you. And so even in marriages that go crazy, somebody cheats, whatever, you say, oh, it gets over now, they cheated. The Bible nowhere requires for a marriage to be dissolved over infidelity. It allows for it. It does not demand it. You say, well, I'm out of here. I'd ask the Father what he'd like to see happen, right? Don't be bailing too quick. All right, some verses. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 28, talking about making man and woman. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what is one of the basic things that God told Adam and Eve to do? Be fruitful and multiply. So you say, well, that must be involving sex. Yes. The primary purpose for sexual relationships is what? Being fruitful and multiplying. We've turned it into Six Flags. We're like, oh, no, that's not what it's primarily about. We're going to blow this thing up and turn it all into pleasure. Now, God was very kind and built into the system. There is pleasure with procreation. But when you jump outside of the bounds of the balance, pleasure, and procreation and say, oh, no, we're going, and the world's lost their mind, they always take something that God has intended to be done a certain way and exaggerate it and destroy your life, your marriage, everything by getting you out of bounds. So remember this, be fruitful and multiply. Now go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That is what God intended for marriage. Anything else outside of that is a distortion. You say, yeah, but there's laws, and you can marry your cat now. It's almost to that point. You know, I get all that. I don't have to agree with all that or believe all that. You're going to offend someone. I am more worried about offending him than you. What did he intend? A man to marry a woman, and then those two become one flesh. Now, Matthew 19, verse 4, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. We quoted that out of Genesis. And the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So you say, well, but God didn't put us together. We just hooked up and got married. We were in Vegas and it'll be fun. We'll see what happens. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Technically, that is legally marriage. I'm talking about you claim that God said, I fasted, prayed, talked to everybody I knew, flew around the country to certain people and said, okay, I'm about to propose to this woman. We're not dating, but I'm about to propose to her. And, what are you hearing me saying? And so I got peace about it, and I explained to people, it was like, yes, I was attracted to her, yes, I had feelings for her, but my mom used to say, well, when you know, it is a knowledge. The kind of love you need to marry is a knowledge. It is a fact. It is something from God himself where he says, that is your wife. Whether you feel like it, you're attracted to her at any given point, it is irrelevant. I am telling you, that is your wife. And if she told her the same thing about me, then what God has joined together, then don't let some man, let some person come in and blow that thing up. And the Bible makes one exclusion for it, infidelity, but it does not require it. So stay together if possible. You say, but sometimes it doesn't work. I get that. There's grace and mercy. It's not the unpardonable sin. But try to figure it out. You can't imagine what you can figure out if you let God get in the middle of it. You can work stuff out. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Yeah, a lot of people don't like this little run of verses, so you might want to tighten your seatbelt. This might be unpleasant. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. This is talking about sexual interaction. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So you go to your wife and say, can we, get together later? Oh no, I've been fasting. You've been fasting for 9 years. Now, this is a problem. This is where people live a lot of times. And men or women can weaponize sex. And if you used it as a weapon before you were married, now you're trying to use it after you're married to say, well, if I don't get a new house, a new car, new strand of pearls, boom, 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 guess what, big boy? Ain't happening. And you're thinking, well, I was just going to take the trash out. I didn't think I'd do all that. Now, if I went around this room and kind of sat down with each couple and said, what's going on in your house? Some houses, it's great. No challenges. Man's taking care of his wife. And this goes both ways. There are women who are like, dude, I'm trying to, God, I'm trying to do the right thing. My husband will not take care of me. He's selfish. He's going elsewhere. He's not focused on me. Whatever the challenge is, part of the reason I married him was for this in my life. He will not take care of me. You are sinning against God and your spouse when you play this game. And sin has consequence. I've sat with guys and they say, well, I'm just not attracted to her anymore, blah, blah, blah. And she still has, I said, dude, your job is to take care of your wife. She has nowhere else to go, but you don't defraud her, take care of her. Well, I'm not interested. I didn't ask you if you were interested. You're the husband. Anybody have any questions at this point? Just a quick show of hands. Does everybody know what I'm talking about here? And nobody likes me to go here either. But if you're hooking up, shacking up before you're married, for some people it's too late on this. You're playing games with sex before you're married. You think there's no consequence. So that woman sometimes says, you know what? I know what you need. I know what you want. So we're going to play your game. I'll do what you want to do before we're married. But let me tell you something. The second this goes on, I own you. And now I call the shots. And we do this when I say, not when you say. Now I'm the boss. And how many men walking around, man, we had all this great sex before we got married. Now nothing. Wonder how that is. The devil beat your brains in before. Now he's beating your brains in after. Same tool. There's a reason for waiting. It builds trust. Then you don't have a pregnant wife that thinks she's as big as two barns and you going off to work and she thinks you're looking at every hot little thing at the office. Then the Holy Spirit reminds her, he waited for you. He'll come home to you. He didn't cheat on you with you. He's coming home. This is supposed to get smoother and easier in a minute. So let me find those verses. 1 Corinthians 13, this gets read a lot at weddings. It's not about weddings. It can apply to weddings, but it talks about the old word used was charity, love. Let me jump down here to verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I am going to read this, and all you people who grab cheeks, whichever ones you grabbed, and kiss somebody on the lips, I'm going to read these verses, and I want you to ask yourself, I'm going to ask myself, is this how I am operating? Is this who I am? Not is this what it says. Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to live in and through me in such a way that this kind of love is manifest in my life, my heart, my marriage? And if I ask my spouse, would you agree that this is basically what's going on from me to you? Would they agree? Verse 4, love suffers long. Are you long-suffering? Do you have a short fuse? Is kind. I can be so unkind, so impatient. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. And puffed up means just what it is. Like, I'm somebody, you're all proud. Does not behave rudely. Don't be rude to your spouse. How many people do you see who are kinder, nicer to strangers than their own husband or wife? Does not seek its own. It's not about me all the time. Not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And then these verses inserted in here that's so bizarre to me at first. What does this have to do with anything? Look at this verse. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. So how do children speak to children? They're rude, they're mean, they're all these things. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm a man now. I'm not going to live that way, behave that way, speak that way anymore. Now we see in a mirror dimly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Because when you get to heaven, you won't need hope. When you get to heaven, you won't need faith. But there will always be love because God defines himself by it. He is love. You say, well, I can't be this person. Okay, tell God that. When you become a Christian, he moves in your life. So if you'll get out of the way and say, okay, Lord, I can't do any of this. He says, okay, I can. I will be all of this in and through you to your wife and everybody else. Get out of the way. Let me live in you and through you. And then all of a sudden, the fruit of the Spirit manifests. You're like, I don't even know who this person is. I'm not this way. Okay, let's start with the women. I'm going to have a vote here. Let's make single some people out. How many of you are married to a man who God has changed and he is not the same man in a good way that he was when you married him? Raise your hand. You'd like to stand up, wouldn't you? You're like dying to stand up. Okay, other way around, men. Your wife is not. Stacy, dude, your hand went up so fast. What was wrong with her? You can put it down. You say, well, I'm a Christian too. You know, well, why can't I do that? You become a Christian. You go, well, I got my ticket to heaven. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come or me to die. Like, that's not the plan. There's a process. The Bible talks about sanctification. It's this process of less you, more him, less you, more him. And so it should be less of me. I'm not supposed to be getting meaner. I'm supposed to be getting kinder. I'm not supposed to be rougher. I'm supposed to be more tender. I'm supposed to be more patient. I'm supposed to be more of these things if I'm growing. So this is what's so bizarre to people that say, well, you're judging me. You say this, you see this in my life. I'm like, dude, it's not complicated. If your lifters are making noise, it's probably because you don't change your oil. Well, you don't know that. What else is going on? You're not paying attention to basic stuff. Now, the hope in this is you go, well, I still feel like I'm a slug. We're not going to make it. Then change. Say, God, I'm a Christian. What's wrong here? Put it in gear. Let's go. And if I got to confess things and admit to things and get help, let's get help. Let's go. Robert and Deanna, back row, corner. I've known them for how long? 15 years? More? When I met them, they showed up. I had to almost keep them separated so we would get killed. They were a complete mess. They're inseparable. Robert grew up. Deanna grew up. They're married. They love each other. They wouldn't leave each other for cash money. It's not like they didn't have trouble. TV's full of shows about something. Somebody's about to total, tear down. and the right person gets a hold of it, and you're like, wow, what in the world? Good thing we didn't tear this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, some of this today is about marriage if you are married, and we'll explain some things. Some of this is about marriage if you're not married. And I had a conversation, same guy I mentioned, and you know, he told me, he said, well, I'm dating a Muslim girl. He's a Christian. I'm like, dude, and I've known him for 25 years. Like, dude, are you some kind of idiot? Have you lost your mind? What are you doing? I said, I don't have anything against the girl. I don't even know her. But that's not how this works. Look at what it says. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? You say, well, you're judging Muslims. Muslims don't tell their people to marry Christians. Don't be jumping on me. It's a thing. You think they're, oh yeah, marry who you want to. You marry outside of your faith, you're dead. That's what they think about it. But we think, oh, well, it'll work out and I'll do some missionary marriage. It's gone from missionary dating to missionary marriage now. Now you say, well, I got married and we hooked up, whatever we did, and we got married and I'm a Christian now and he's not or she's not. What do? You stay married as long as that person wants to stay married. Now, if they say I'm out of here, you can't stop that, but you try to stay married. Man, hell hates marriage. God loves marriage. But hell hates marriage because Jesus decided to use the relationship he has with his church with marriage. The husband, the head, I'll read you this in a minute, the wife, the church, he loves marriage. And so, of course, the enemy's going to attack it. Now, listen, I'll say it as simply as I can. If you are not married and you are a Christian, do not marry a non-believer, but don't stop there. If they tell you that they are a Christian, don't get married to them the next week. Ask them, tell me about your relationship with Jesus. Give it some time. Find out if it's real. Test the Spirit to see if it's really Him. You're about to engage in this relationship. Be sure. Because even if God says it is the right one, you're both Christians, you're equally yoked, it's still going to be trouble. And this thing, unequally yoked, it's like a pair of oxen. You don't put an oxen and a cat in a yoke. They're not pulling together. You got to put two people in the yoke who pull together the same direction. Understand what we're doing, where we're going. So don't be unequally yoked. And you say, but if I don't, this guy's a great guy. If I don't marry him, I'll never find anybody. My observation is you haven't found anybody yet. They're not believers. Okay, we'll read through this pretty quick. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And I'm going to read you some words you're not going to like. Just hold on till I define the terms. It starts out in verse 21, this continuing sentence of submitting to one another in the fear of God. So it's talking about submitting to each other. And then in verse 22, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. What does submit mean? It's a Greek word that means to arrange oneself under. It implies a voluntary action, not one that is forced or coerced. In the context of marriage, it suggests a willing alignment or yielding to one's husband's leadership out of love and respect. Recognizing the husband's role as described in the subsequent verses, back, we'll read those 25 and following, where husbands are commanded to love their wives sacrificially as Christ loved the church. Listen to me, ladies. If you pick a man that you do not respect, you will have a nightmare time submitting to that man. Do not marry a man you do not respect. And what are you going to respect the most? His relationship with God. And that he is under authority, and he is more concerned about what God thinks and what he's doing in his own life and now in his marriage and his family. And so then he looks at you. He's not a dictator. He's not the king. He's trying to lead. And yes, you're equal. Men and women are equal. No one's better. But in church and in the home, men are supposed to lead. And this is not how the world operates. This is what God intended. So in my house, Rebecca's told me through the years, I don't want your job. I don't want the responsibility. I'll have to answer not only for myself, but for leading my wife and my family. So you think, oh, I met this really hot guy and we had great sex. You're a lunatic. We're going to get married. And then you're going to have chaos and you're going to run into me and go, can we spend some time together? I'm like, yeah, I guess, but we could avoid it all. I told you not to marry a non-believer. I told you to find out if you love Jesus and you wouldn't listen. And now you're in here and it's my problem. And then I tell them what to do at that point. And they go, well, we don't want to do that. I'm like, then why do you keep calling me?
You're going to do what you want to do. You've already proven that. More chaos, more chaos. You got to yield. You got to submit. I'm not saying don't call me, but it's probably going to be really unpleasant. So women, wives, he didn't even say to love your husband. Wives, submit to your husband, your own husbands as the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. You say, I'm not doing that. Then you're probably not submitted to God in the first place. As a woman, I want God to bless my marriage. Then submit to God. Then verse 25, women are told to respect their husbands, submit to their husbands. Interchangeable word, respect and submit. Husbands, love your wives. Why do you have to tell a man to love his wife? Because we forget. He said, well, I didn't forget anything. Yeah, it looks like you did. Because we go chasing everything else in the world that we love. Tell her you love her. Show her you love her. You know, I'm just making suggestions. Before the eclipse the other day, I stopped by and got some sunflowers. She didn't get it for a minute, but then I explained it to her and I thought it was pretty funny, but anyhow. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So guys, this is all you got to do. Just love your wife like Jesus loved the church. Willing to die for her, willing to suffer, willing to take everything on himself to reach her. You show me a woman who's got a husband that loves her that way, I'll show you a woman's got zero problems submitting and respecting that man. So you say, well, my wife won't, she won't submit. She doesn't respect me. Be respectable. Submit to God yourself. Love the woman. Love her the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for. You show up with that, you'd be amazed how she might change. Women are built to respond. Give her something to respond to other than you being a you-know-what. I hate filling the blanks, but whatever you are, that's it. Love the church, gave himself for that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Why? We're one flesh. So when I love Rebecca, I'm loving myself because she's part of me. Taking care of her is taking care of me. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Am I nourishing and cherishing my wife? Are you nourishing and cherishing your wife? Are you feeding her spiritually, emotionally? You say, wow, but she's crazy. Women are crazy. You know, she comes up with all this stuff. When I say something, she starts crying. She's all emotional. Stop complaining about God making women, women. If she's more emotional than you, then deal with it. Yeah, but her story's going forever. And then. Right? And I got guy friends that out-talk any woman. You know, women don't, you know, guys don't talk. Whatever. I can't shut some of these guys up. You say, well, she gets weird on me. Like, you know what? We're not asking you to figure out every woman on the planet. Why don't you be a specialist on your woman? Right? Why don't you say, okay, God, this is the girl you sent me. What's she like? Let me take some notes.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
No one ever hated his own flesh, nourishes, cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. Same thing. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay, let's have us a prayer and we will be on our way. Father, you're the best. Something about knowing you, knowing your people, being your people, and not huddling up, just waiting for Jesus to come, but engaging our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, even strangers, and always being ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us. Help us be that, do that. Thank you for changing our lives, changing our homes, changing our families, and that there's hope. Pray your protection on us. We love you and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.